Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank the Lord for the day. Thank the Lord for being able to be out in church, the life and health and strength, Lord, you've given us. Pray to be with us all this morning. Pray just especially for Kate this morning. I haven't heard anything, so I pray, Father, that she's okay. Pray also for Lane and Dr. Shane, Frank, Colin, and for John. And pray, Lord, your good hand upon your children, wherever it is they might be. Please, Lord, continue to oppose those that hate you, and bless those that love you, Lord. And Lord, please, provision Israel in every form and fashion that they need. Lord, thank you for loving us, and for your Son, Christ Jesus, for your word, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for each head that's bowed in your presence here now. And Father, we just ask all these things, and we've got our private prayer requests as well, but we ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's start with number 69 in the wee black books. I don't think we need a verse by way of introduction, do we? I think we should all be fairly well up on the angels we have heard on high. Number 8, verses 4.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly sing, O Lord. We'll jump over a page or two to number 73, I think was one of our picks. Was that yours this morning, Norman? Number 73. That is long time ago in Bethlehem.
Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now is it out in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that are of the world speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we are the spirit of truth, and the true spirit, and the spirit of heaven. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through them. Herein is the love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we of them from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. The last few verses, I'd like to speak about God's love, if I may. God's love is not our kind of love. God's love is limitless. There is not one person among you here, I including myself, would do the things that God has done for man. We wouldn't give our only begotten child for a stranger, would we? I couldn't. I look at my children and I go, no, I can't do that. But God did. And at this time of year, Christmas, it's all about giving, yes, because of what we love one another, right? So here's what God did for us in gifts. God first created the heavens and the earth. He gave us the earth for us to live in. Then he created us and gave us a soul that we might have eternal life. He gave us the prophets and the martyrs and the saints all through the ages. He gave us the Holy Bible, his word, which is everlasting. He gave us the will to be for him or not. He gave us, most importantly, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And I don't know why to this day, but he gave me life after that. eternal life I will give, I'll be with him when I die. He gave me that. The promises that he gave. That anything to share in his kingdom. He gave us the Messiah as a mediator. So that when the devil comes to call him and accuse him, his son said, we already paid for that one. He's one of ours. All these things he gives us freely. He gives us a breath of life. He gives us, as we live along in life, he gives us a roof over our head, food in our bellies, provides us enough to pay our bills. But what do we give him? What can we give him? We give him our love. That's our present to him. We give him our love. We give him our obedience. We give him our strength. We give him our will that he gives us in the ring. We give him back. We give him victory that he lets us out. All these gifts that we have, we must give back to him. Because it's only right. We love him because he first loved us. Does he not say that in the Bible? If we love him as much as he loved us, we give him freely back. And if we stop doing this, there is something wrong. I thought I'd leave you with this because of this time of year. It's about giving and loving. John expresses love that God has for us here. And I have said what we should do for him. I'll leave that with you. Amen.
For those thoughts. I just want to remind everybody about the little green prayer bus. Mentioned already this morning, please do pray for Kate Cairns. She's not very well this past few days. I do believe she's still hanging on up in Ward 26 in Albigelvin. Please do pray for her. I'll keep you apprised as the time goes. Spoken to her many times over the years. I don't believe she's saved, and even as she lay, I think it was the last few hours of consciousness that she had, she said, I'm not interested and I don't want to hear. So I think she's probably lost, and unless the Lord gives her a few hours, which I've been praying for, just to waken up and put all the pieces together in her head and lead her to the foot of the cross, I'm afraid. I'm afraid she might be going into a sinner's eternity. So please do pray for Kate. Amen. Anything else we need to add in the mouth of Christmas to our prayer list?
Well, we must keep praying for Israel right now.
Well, yes, that's what we're about to say. Yeah.
The world is condemning what they're doing now.
Yeah.
But you know that Christ said they would do.
And us too, yes.
There's been a number of killings in England, child killings, and one latest one, a mother and father, one of them stabbed his child. So many times, why I don't know. I know that that child is with the Lord now. It doesn't make it right. The children are being slaughtered. For what reason, God denies.
Well, I think it probably sums it up in the Old Testament, in the Bible. I think it's one of the ultimate rejections of God to the people used to let their children put them through the fire, offer them up as human sacrifices for a life of ease and to appease the so-called pagan gods, and they're still doing it today in some form or fashion or other. But people's just, what does the Bible say about the heart of man being deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And I think if you try to wrap your head around the reasons why people would do a thing, you end up doing yourself more harm. There are just bad people out there. Ones that God has just said, washes his hands off and lets them go.
there's no amount of reason or logic and even force going to change their mind. It's just bad people.
We've also got an email about Mecca. They're getting one tribulation after another.
And they deserve it.
Muslims are running in all directions.
They deserve it.
They've still got souls, really matter. We still should pray for them. But I think God's judgment is coming a little bit earlier than what's happening to Mecca right now.
Yeah. Many of those good souls have ended up in England and America and Europe and been given every courtesy and every comfort. And then as soon as the opportunity arises for them to express their, in quotes, displeasure at God's people, either his chosen country or us, his adopted children, they're out by the tens of thousands in the streets. Yes, they do need to be saved, but so does every soul. The Bible does say that there's a lot of ones that you just can't work with at all. So.
There's one more thing.
Yes.
Let's pray for the people of Africa right now. Apparently, Africa is splitting. There's another ocean forming. Don't know why, it's just happening. At the moment, a lot of people are obviously losing lives all these homes.
Certainly check it out.
Maybe type up Africa. Africa's just splitting.
Yeah. Too much water then coming in where there wasn't any before. Anybody got any other prayer requests? Anybody got any private prayer requests? Yes, no. Hold on, what we say?
Ed Bissett surgery on Thursday.
Yes. Just a reminder that Ed Bissett surgery is on Thursday morning at the crack of dawn. They are going into his bladder for small cancerous growth. Keep praying for him. He's been taking those apricot seeds, a lot of them, and a lot of people are praying for him around the world. I would love for them to go in and find nothing there whenever they go in, but the Lord knows. So please pray for Ed Bissett, especially Thursday morning, scrape it on. I think it's about, is it 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock?
It has to be here at 7:30.
7:30. Yes.
And New Year's Eve.
Yes. New Year's Eve.
Yes. The morning service, you can say much.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry, yes. So I'm just thinking about this morning and Christmas Day and New Year's Eve seems so far away, but it's only a fortnight away. We're just planning to do a morning service, have some soup and sandwiches, chicken soup and sandwiches, and short afternoon service as well. And then we will enjoy the rest of our New Year's Eve, wherever it is that we plan to do it. You're still in for dialysis, aren't you?
Christmas Eve, I think New Year's Eve might be the same. I don't know yet.
Well,
nothing's been said.
We will miss you. But
well, Christmas Eve I won't be here this time. Sorry.
It is what it is, Steve. You can't do a thing about it. Nobody else can.
You have to be in yourself.
We will have to find a way to keep the service running without you.
Christmas
Eve evening is the cup of tea and the Christmas Christmas pudding, etc.
Yep. Did you get that? Yeah. Christmas Eve evening service, a short service, because we have to get home to go to bed early so that Santa finds us all. There's good little boys and girls. The presents come, so we'll be having a cup of tea and various Christmas pudding type treats, apple pies, mince pies, maybe even about Christmas pudding. And here's an incentive. Here's an incentive. And custard.
Stop it. That's not technically not the law died on, he says.
We'll send you a wee kind of custard up to the house. Grand job.
Are you coming to our house on Tuesday morning?
Well, all being well, why?
Yeah. I'll give you a thick ear then. All right.
Something
in Liverpool. In Liverpool.
What day am I?
I have
a day of travelling around, dropping stuff off with folks on the best day possible, but I'm planning to be up either in the morning or afternoon if that works.
I'm going to send a memo to Monica by email. Remind her not to mention food.
Bring your body under subjection, lest when you preach to others you become a castaway. Would you like to use some of your words and pray, or have you used them all up?
Sorry, God, what's that? I can't hear you.
Would you like?
I'm praying. I just said.
Are you going to pray? Would you like to pray for us, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.
So, Father, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for bringing us safe and secure to your house, Lord. Thank you for all the graphic and blessings for your Son. You died in the cross here, so much sins, Lord. Lord, you send your word throughout the world today, Lord, and see so say, the vision of the Holy Spirit, Lord, say, mighty and powerfully, and may your standard be raised up on the earth of you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're fast and proud of thank you, Frank. And Dr. Shanks, and just keep him safe, love him out of control, keep him well, Lord, and bring him back to house, your house, to the house, and as well, Lord. Go for Paul, wherever he is, heal him mightily in heart, Lord, much wrong to him, keep him safe and well, Lord, and bring him back home as well, Lord. Save Stephen Collins, John, Lord, today, Lord, and bring him to church as well, Lord, and save him mightily in heart, that it's only like that's through Jesus Christ. Also, go for Stephen's wisdom and justice, heal him mightily in heart, Lord, give him grace and keep himself, also give breath back to Paul as well, Lord. Also, go to John Bradfield, keep him safe and well, Lord, bless our son, and keep him taken away, Lord, and on fire for thee, Lord, as well, Lord. Also, with blessed Lord, may he heal him mightily in power, Lord, may he discomfort, Lord, prepare for his operation, Lord, and Lord, let there be good news, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, and heal him mightily in power for thee, as well, Lord. Also, with keep courage, Lord, you might bring him back to consciousness, Lord. And give her mightily powerfully by the Spirit, Lord, and save her mightily powerfully through blood sacrifice, which is on the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us as Mark of the Gospel, Lord. You have a message for each of us, Lord, and may you prepare us in this season, Lord, when Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our sins, Lord. And give us a place, give us a blessing, Lord, and may our praises and our supplications and our praises, Lord, be accepted in your sight, for thy honor, for thy glory.
Thanks, Will. Let's take a diversion into the big book, and we'll go to hymn number 431 by Quest. We'll remain seated as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Hymn number 431.
Oh,
as promised, with not having my reading glasses. Amen. But we have a request for number 71 in the wee book. Was that you, Will?
No, it's 77.
Pat?
Yeah.
Come, O come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, 70. That one you see him in the winter snow. And you're beside 70 or 71, because that's where the mark was. That's
pretty cold.
We'll still be there. Alright, if you're able, let's stand as we sing.
Amen.
chapter, Mark chapter 7, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. And please forgive me this morning if I get miss a word or have to stumble over them a bit today. Knees up in heaven, having a good chuckle at me this morning, not having my proper reading glasses. I'm sure the Lord will give me whatever it is that I need. But amen. Talking about the real reason this morning, I want to read the baker's dozen of verses from this portion of God's Word. And we're speaking about the real reason. Amen. Mark chapter 7. The Word of God says, "Men came together unto him," that's to Jesus, "the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked them, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?' And he answered and said unto them, 'Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do.' And he said unto them, 'Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honour thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do, I was going to say anything, but ought for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Amen. We're talking about the real reason. As I was reading this portion of God's Word, it just came to me about this particular time of year and what we traditionally used to think of it, and even the Lord's Day, but what it has become now. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time that we've set aside. We just, please, Lord, just put your hand upon us and open our eyes and our understanding and our ears, Lord, to the things that are in your word, and help them, Lord, I pray you, to see more clearly and to live more closely to you. Don't be done with this, Lord. Please work on us. Please help us. And again, please give us portions of this. Please be with all those, Lord, that are standing to preach the full counsel of your word. And even those, Lord, that are, for whatever reason, are only getting a wee bit, I pray that wee bit would make a difference. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, most especially. Thank you for the free gift of everlasting life and a good sense to take a hold of. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. This portion of God's Word is nothing new. If you read the Gospels at all, you will soon come across an instance where real, pure religion and undefiled, which is the Gospel, always seems to butt heads with man's religion. And here at this point, we're fairly well through Mark. I think there's like 12 chapters in the book of Mark. 16 chapters in the book of Mark. The Lord's been busy because the book of Mark doesn't start with the child
for the baby of Christ. It starts with him literally jumping straight into his work. Jesus has already done a bunch of miracles. He has fed the 5,000. He's fed thousands of people at least once. He's, with a word, he's calmed the winds and the waves. He has commanded the fish to hop into the nets for Peter. By this point, he's already turned the water into wine. I'm sure he's raised at least one person to life. I think maybe Jairus' daughter by this particular point. But he's doing a lot of miracles that God did in the Old Testament to show that he's God. And all that the scribes and the Pharisees could do was point a finger and say, "You're a heretic because you don't wash your hands before you eat your tea." And that's all that they could point to him at. "You're a heretic. Because God would say, you know, you have to wash your hands before you eat." Now, I know that our mums and dads always tell us to wash our hands before we eat. And if you're out working in a garden and you're working with the wee bugs that creep and crawl and the worms and the maggots that sometimes you see and whatever else might happen to be in the ground, it is a good idea to wash your hands before you eat. Because you could pick up anything off of the ground these days, especially if you have cats or rodents or dogs or whatever there, it always pays to wash your hands. But it's not going to affect your eternity. Except maybe it'll get you there a bit sooner if you don't wash your hands. But the Lord, as Pat once said, the Lord started reading the scribes and the Pharisees their pedigree. He started reading their pedigree. I remember Pat telling a story about, I think it was her dad, reading everyone their pedigree one time. Was it your dad or your mum? And I like that. So I use it. He started reading them their pedigree. He says, "You see, you guys, you are a bunch of two-faced gits." At least if he was from Derry, that's what he would have said. He says, "You're a bunch of heretics, hypocrites and heretics. You get all bent out of shape about us not washing our hands before we eat. But you actually contradict God's laws so that you can get out of helping your mum and dad." And we know the commandment that the Lord was talking about where it says to honour your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Your days, not their days, but your days. And he says, and so to get out of actually honouring your mum and dad, you give them something, maybe it's a little sum of money, called the korban, a little sum of money, that's my debt paid off, that's my debt as a son or as a daughter paid off to you, I don't have to do anything else for you again. And you wondered why the scribes and the Pharisees never thought twice about conspiring to murder Jesus. And you wonder why the scribes and the Pharisees never thought twice about conspiring to kill and to murder the apostles when the Lord was away. When even that closest of bonds between people, between that of a parent and a child, was so casually broken. And we can see it everywhere today. This was in the highest echelons of Jewish society. And I am sure it broke the Lord's heart to see what they would go through and what they would do just to make life easier for themselves, to make themselves richer. And God had done all these things, these miracles. None of them were done in secret. Well, remember the maniac of Gadara? A man that was renowned and feared amongst the people for miles around. He was found seated and clothed at the Saviour's feet and in his right mind. These things were heard. But you know yourself. When you're speaking to people that you know and you love and you get an opportunity to share the gospel. And you can be telling them about the wondrous things that God does for you. And if there's a wasp comes in, you know what I'm going to say, if there's a fly comes in and you smack it in your hands. I've heard it's a law of nature that if you do that with a wasp, you don't get stung.
What
would you do? I don't think that's really a law of nature. If you do that with a big blue bottle, you'd better go and wash your hands. But what will that person say to you? "Oh, you killed that fly or you killed that wasp." A real Christian wouldn't do that. That's all that they can find. They forget immediately about the murders in their hearts, the adulteries in their hearts, the thefts in their hearts, the lies, the fornications, the blasphemies. But you killed a fly. I'm not going to believe what your gospel says. And that's exactly the same thing. One of the things you need to know about the Lord was many of his miracles were replicated from the Old Testament, so that people would look back at the Old Testament. Well, you know what? God fed tens of thousands in the desert for 40 years. And he's done it again, twice, for thousands of people, maybe even tens of thousands again. He has healed the lepers, which he did, Naaman the leper. And of course, he gave leprosy to Gehazi, Elijah's servant, and he took it from Naaman and gave it to Gehazi. And he gave it to Moses, to Aaron, and what was Aaron, the sister? Miriam. Gave them leprosy for their shenanigans against Moses, and of course, took it away from them again. God commands diseases to do what he says. And he healed people, many people, of their diseases, and he cast out devils, just so that people can see that even the devil, who is referred to as a man in the book of Isaiah, is this the man that caused nations to tremble, is still under the command. He is still due to be commanded by God. When God tells him to do something, he has to do it. You will notice that even as the Lord was in Isaiah 53, it talks about the Lord being dumb before his shearers. If the Lord had started defending himself, and if the Lord had commanded the devil to be far away from the scribes and the Pharisees and from the crowds, they probably would have let him go. The Lord never opened his mouth, not even to command those 12 legions of angels. So he went and read them the pedigree. But one of the things that I also noticed, the things that people do to get around obeying God. The Lord said, where was it? And many such things, where am I? There we go. And many such things that you do also to make the commandments of God of none effect. I got to thinking about one of those. And I am sure you will all remember the account of the woman that was caught in adultery in the very act. And the first question that was on my mind, where was the man? Where was the man that was caught in adultery? Might have been a scribe or a Pharisee, and they had a rule or a law that if a woman went out of her way to attract the attention of a scribe or a Pharisee, then it was all on her, and the scribe or the Pharisee was blameless. And so they only brought the woman to Jesus to say, well, the law says that a woman that caught in adultery should be stoned to death. And it's okay to betray someone and falsely arrest them and falsely put them to death, but we're not taking the money from it back into the church, but we can plan the death of somebody. How many of these rules, and not just little inconvenient ones, but big ones, do people actually put in place to completely avoid obeying God? And I got to thinking about that, especially as it pertains to us right now, to Christmas time. If I said to you, it's Christmas, I'm speaking to Norman, I've already been speaking to Christine and Mary Ann, and the rest, and I'm going to make the statement that it doesn't seem much like Christmas this year. I don't know about you, but it just doesn't. With the way that Israel has been treated, it's almost like there is a sense of urgency in the world. There's wheels have been set in motion. It's like we were waiting for the starter pistol, and this is just an echo of it coming back to us about how Israel is being treated. You may also remember from the Bible God's warnings when it comes to treating children right. In fact, I think it's the only place where God makes like a dire threat against anybody that doesn't treat kids right. Mm-hmm. Says it'd be better for you For a millstone to be tied around your neck and thrown in the depths of the sea, that would be a sore way to go. I would say most of you wouldn't make it to the bottom of the ocean before the critters got you, but God said that would be better for you than for me to get you. And yet we have all these things introduced, like RSE, which is quite literally government-sanctioned grooming of little children. So the perverts and homosexuals, they're just easy prey for all these members of the LGBTQ plus IA and soon-to-be M groups. Well, let's limit it to Christmas a little bit. Said Christmas to you. I am sure there'll be one or two or three or four things that will come to your mind. It used to be the excitement whenever you were little of Christmas Eve and the lights of the Christmas tree. It would be trying to go to bed at like 6 o'clock and not being able to go to sleep till maybe 12 or 1. It'll be the fond memories maybe that we had of I don't know what time it is. Let's go downstairs and seeing mummy and daddy lying on the couch with the toys half open that they had to put together for us as little ones. And it was a great revelation that there was no Santa, but it was mum and dad. And I think it was then another memory would come to mind about Christmas, about the annual search as it came close to Christmas, under cupboards and under beds and seeing what it was that we were getting for Christmas. That's the very cynical part of Christmas. But then you have the turkey. Maybe you've got the ham, the roast potatoes, the stuffing, the Christmas pudding, the sprouts, the custard. One of ours was the breakfast, which was normally like bacon and eggs. But it also comprised of at least one selection box. So there was chocolate 8 as we opened presents, and then breakfast, and more chocolate 8 after that, and then we ate at Christmas dinner. And then there was presents being opened. And I remember one year in particular, my wee brother got a thing called Starbird, plastic spaceship, and it spent the afternoon going like that there, and with all the wee sound effects going on. Or Big Track. We got a Big Track, and it was... People kept having their legs bumped into as they were programming it to go left and right and this, that and the other. That's just in my house. I remember the shops used to have lots of lights in them. And it would say Merry Christmas. And you'd be able to go and see. And one of the things of Christmas was walking up one side of the town and down the other. And all the shops would have all their wares for everyone to see. If you were to walk up and down Portadown now, it would be like a steel canyon with all the shutters down. You had the preparations. I used to remember my mum making her homemade Christmas pudding in the big pot. And it steamed for hours and hours. I remember the stuffing the turkey with the bread and the onions and the eggs and the sage. And then another tray of stuffing. Everybody always wanted the stuffing from inside the turkey. And if you were just unlucky enough on Christmas morning, you got the stuff off the tray and it just didn't taste the same. You would have getting the presents for your mummy and daddy and getting your uncle another pair of socks or a tie. All those things. All the things that people associate with Christmas. You would have your carol services. You would have your... what was the Sunday they used to do where they would bring all the presents in that would go to all the kids in the homes or the hospitals. You had that Sunday. You had the carol service, you had that Sunday, and then you had your Christmas morning service, or your morning before Christmas service. You sang those old songs, and the minister would read to you and remind you about the birth of Jesus Christ. They would read one account of the shepherds, another account of the wise men bringing their gifts to God. That's what it was all about. And people actually seemed to genuinely have a smile on their face. It was a joy to see the kids enjoying themselves. Especially whenever they're dying of impatience and they're saying, Mummy, Daddy, how many more sleeps till Christmas? I think it's 8 more at this particular point.
just in case you're just in case you're asking. But it's changed. Over the years, there's been a sustained effort to take everything to do with Christ out of Christmas. Now, I went to Marks and Spencer's and I got a couple of things of milk and bread and a thing of grapes. And as I was leaving, I said, "Merry Christmas," to the lady at the till. And it was a, no Merry Christmas. Things are definitely changing. We know even from, now, all of us are old enough and long enough in the tooth to remember whenever every place was shut on the Lord's Day, on a Sunday. And I am sure there would be some shops would be open on Christmas Day under the pretense of selling batteries or newspapers if they could, but the shops closed. But now, it's not even a covert attempt to remove Christ from everything. It's quite open. I know we've referred to Rishi Sunak, what do you call it, Sadiq Khan, who won't even put up a banner for Merry Christmas in the streets of London. I don't know about you, but I remember one of the sights on the news. One of the Shaggy Dog stories at the end was the lighting up of the lights in London. No Merry Christmas there. The only refrain that there is at the moment is from mentioning Jesus at all. It's not, we don't hear the refrains of "O Little Town of Bethlehem" or "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," but it's a stopping or a holding back of good things. It's just become an orgy, literally, of buying and selling and eating and drinking. And in all honesty, if there was one portion of the Bible that I could point my finger at and say that it's gotten like, it's in Revelation 11, where it talks about two witnesses during the tribulation and great tribulation who start preaching the gospel, and they point the finger and they call governments and they call corporations and they call people out and religions out and say, "You see the way you do this? That's not in the Bible." And they will say that over and over again, and it will annoy so many people that people will actually take arms against them. And the Bible says in the way that they try to kill these two guys, they'll be killed themselves. But the beast comes against them and kills them. And people are so happy that two people have been put to death, two Christians, two preachers have been put to death. What do? They run out and they buy presents and give them to each other. No mention of God, it's to each other. That's what that reminds me of. And of course, after 3 days, they leave the bodies there and say, "Oh, that would be a lesson to people." We see that attitude creeping in now already, especially with this latest attack of Hamas on Israel. It's just a hatred. And a consent almost from law enforcement agencies that it's okay to hate Jews and it's okay to hate and persecute Christians. The turn of the time that should be about the Lord and the Bible reminding us about the offer of a free gift, as Steve mentioned earlier on, a free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, that makes everything you have feel new and your life feel new again and opens the door to so many other gifts. But just turn it into an orgy of buying and selling. And I think if you even look at the likes of Amazon and Tesco and Asda and Sainsbury's and eBay even, if you're on those at all, and you have a wee loyalty card, you are being tempted to buy things that you don't normally need. They will tempt you just to buy and to sell. And I remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he talked about the synagogue, when he was tipping over the tables. Remember what he said? "My Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." If we took and applied that to the birth of Jesus Christ, and I know it's not the 25th of December,
That's just a Christianized pagan festival. But it's the time that we have set aside to worship and to praise the Lord for the great gift that he's given us. I am reminded, if Jesus was here today, he would say, this is a day of prayer, but ye have taken it and turned it into a day of merchandise. We should remember. One of the free gifts that the Lord gives us is the free gift of free will. We can say and do pretty much whatever we please. We literally can. And the only time we'll run into bother is if we break the law and the boys in blue come knocking on your door, or green, or whatever colour it might be. We can't force other people to do what God says. We can do what God says. And we can set it aside as a time of prayer. And we can give God his food. Do you know, in the Passover, there is always a place sitting at the table left empty. And if you were to follow through knowing Christ as your Savior, these Jewish customs, you would understand that is for the Messiah. And we should do that. I know sometimes tables aren't big enough to have an empty space. But the days are big enough to have an empty space, a space for Jesus Christ. And regardless of what the rest of the world does, just remember Jesus this Christmas. Remember. I know if you're serving the Lord, you will pray over your food. Thank the Lord for your food. You put in your tithe. You will turn up at church. You will lift up your praises. You even lift up a few of those pages on the Bible and thank the Lord for a little nugget of wisdom. Like I'd be doing, Lord, as I'm reading the Bible in the morning, any chance there would be a sermon in these few verses? Thank you, Lord, I'll remember that, and I have. Someone, I know I've mentioned it a few times, and we all know that John 3:16 is the most famous verse of scriptures in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whenever you change that, whenever you change those commandments of God, as the Lord was talking about here, into the traditions of men, you end up with John 16:3. And I know I've mentioned this, but I actually wrote it down today. And this is what it says. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Don't let that be your story. Don't let that be your story. I pray for all of us here that we live long enough to go up into the air, to meet the Lord in the air whenever the Lord comes back for us. But I'm also glad to know that for all of you folks here, that there will never come a day when you say, I'm not interested. I don't want to know. There'll always be someone trying to find a new and an innovative way of removing Christ from our lives. They squeal like stuck pigs whenever you thank the Lord for your food. They squeal like stuck pigs whenever you have a hymn and a wee prayer time. Does everyone here remember that in their primary school? A wee Bible reading and singing a hymn. You remember that? They squeal like stuck. Oh, you have Muslims coming to school now. Oh, you have Hindus coming to school. Yeah, but they're coming to school in a Christian country, and this is why they're coming to this country, because it's a Christian country. So hear a bit about Jesus. Squeal like stuck pigs whenever the Ten Commandments are up in the law courts, and they have them removed. Oh, there's separation of church and state. Friends, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. I'm reminded of the words of Christ to John, about John to Peter. And Peter got sorted out with God. After Peter's conscience was cleared and the burden of the guilt that he had for rejecting the Lord 3 times was lifted off his shoulders, he turned around and says, what about this guy? What about John, Lord? What's on the cards for him? And Jesus said, don't be worried about anybody else. You follow me. And that's all that we can do. We may not have the influence over government, and we may not have the influence even over time, but each one of us has influence over our homes and our lives. My prayer, my earnest prayer for you and for myself, is that we follow Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ. And just remember, the real reason that the whole world, the Western world, takes a time out. Most of the shops will be closed, if not all, and most of the folks will actually get the day at home with their families. The real reason for that is because of the great gift that our Heavenly Father gave us in Jesus Christ, His Son. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. God bless you. Thank you for your good time and attention this morning. All right. Did we pick all the songs? 77 in the black books. Thank you, Will. Oh, I do have it. Still in the night, holy the night. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Number 77 in the black book. Still in the night, holy the night. Amen. 77. Preaching, all of it, Lord, that our hearts would be found, if not perfect, well then, good, Lord, in your sight. And if they're not, Lord, and needing any work, I pray that this would be your workshop, Lord. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please continue to work in our hearts and minds. And please, Lord, always help us to be a help. Please provision us and fuel us, Lord, and prepare us. To be instant in season and out of season, always ready to give a reason for the hope that dwells within us. Bless us as we part company, Lord, and please see us safely home. And please, Lord, at this time, please bring someone to the foot of the cross. Help them to see and to hear and understand. Please, Lord, I pray you grant our private prayer requests. And please, Lord, look after Israel in every which way we can. And I thank you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.